Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. I am happy, other than the fact that my pants are soaked in whiskey. I mean, pants could be soaked in worse things, but...
That's the way to think about it.
Yes.
That is the correct way to think about it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Twisted Nerves, an American Horror Story podcast. My name is Matt.
I'm Courtney.
Yes, Courtney. And this is Courtney. This is your first podcast episode that is that you have your actual podcast, your proper podcast.
Sure. My personal one.
Your personal one that is doing quite well, I must say.
Thank you.
But now, this is the first other podcast you're doing.
No.
Right?
No.
No?
I did BJ.
Well, no, but this is your own podcast.
This is all I get ownership of this?
This is our podcast, Courtney.
Oh.
Did you know that you were signing up for this?
Yes, that's why I'm here.
The whole nother podcast? You're not just a guest.
I was getting to be a special guest star every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a consistent guest star. No, yes. Yes.
I'm an official partner.
Yeah.
Love it.
We are both hosts of Twisted Nerves.
Love it.
That's why I was throwing all these podcast names your direction to see what you liked.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Why is he giving me so much weight of this of his podcast? I don't care. Yeah, no.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm happy to do it.
Oh, good.
This is exciting.
Yes.
I love this show.
Me too.
Too obsessed with it, in fact.
Yes. So you come from another podcast. I come from another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of the Doctor Who podcast with my roommates. So it's fun because when I decided to, hey, this would be a fun thing to do, it started off like us kind of texting back and forth during Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that made it a lot more fun.
Yes. The strange season that was Roanoke.
Yes. Yes.
That I haven't still quite wrapped my head around, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it takes a lot of thinking to.
Yeah. It was just a weird one for me.
It was. I think it was a weird one for. Well, some people really like it. So I personally wish that they kind of stuck more with the Roanoke mystery than what it kind of became, but
yeah, it was like a meta experiment.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. So anyway, then I thought, hey, for this one, I would love to do a podcast with somebody talking about American Horror Story. And then I realized that not only are you in the podcasts, but you have such an amazing one. And hey, this would be fun.
It will be fun.
Yes. What got you into American Horror Story? Were you there from the beginning?
I was there from the very beginning. So I've watched them as they've aired this whole time. This is season seven?
Season seven, yeah.
Season seven. Because I like disturbing shows. I'll be honest with you. I like disturbing shows, kind of just these weird, eerie themes. I like the idea that every season was going to be like similar cast, but it's switching up, or where, you know, every season is a different story.
Yeah.
That concept. Same reason I like things like Black Mirror.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you got to see that one for sure. For sure. But yeah, I kind of like that kind of dark, twisted theme in a TV show.
So you're there from the beginning.
And
you like all these
loved
dark.
It.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anything twisted and a little bit disturbing, I'm into it.
Cool.
Murder shows, prison shows, ghost shows.
Yeah.
Covers it all.
Are you a Supernatural fan?
The
show?
I've never seen Supernatural. I've never seen Supernatural.
Oh.
And that show's been on forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yes, I am quite the fan of that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I might have to check it out one day.
Oh, yeah.
Might have to check it out.
Yeah, I actually found out about American Horror Story. I never really watched it until when season three was on. I watched them in order. Yeah. Basically, what happened was my roommates were watching it. Well, one of my roommates was a huge, huge American Horror Story fan. And then they're like, "Oh yeah, we're watching American Horror Story." And I was like, "Ah, okay, whatever. It looks, I don't know. I'm not sold on it." And then I was going to grad school at the time, and then one of my fellow grad student classmates, one of my colleagues, who I had a little bit of a crush on, was like, "Oh yeah, I love American Horror Story." And I was like, "Oh yeah,
you're like, yeah, me too. I love it.
I could check it out. Yeah, totally.
It's the best for sure."
Yeah. So then I started watching Murder House, and
it's all it takes.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really? All it is.
It's all it takes.
So I started watching Murder House, and I was just eating it up.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I couldn't. There wasn't enough hours in the day for me.
Yeah. You know, that one's got a nice twist on it.
Yeah.
You didn't quite know where anything was going.
Right, right.
It had an interesting feel, and it really stood out, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
That's always one of... I feel like Murder House and Asylum seem to be people's favorites a lot.
Right.
And then people that are not comfortable with a very disturbing show, like they're less comfortable with that idea, and they still watch, people seem to prefer Coven, which to me is the least, like, scary. It doesn't...
Yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
kind of scary.
Yeah, definitely.
Asylum's incredibly disturbing... Freak Show's really weird. My favorite is Hotel.
Mine too. I really loved Hotel.
Yeah.
So for me, it was Murder House and Hotel were like right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just really enjoyed the storytelling of Murder House and like what it did, how every episode was a different story.
Yeah, the way it plays out is really good.
There is a through line, but you really see like the history of like, here's what happens. The case with this, with these people over here, you know, this is what happened in this house, you know, at some other point. Anyway, let's go ahead. We've been talking around a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into season 7, episode 1.
Yes. How did you feel about the beginning of it?
I thought that the beginning of it was very interesting. I liked how they just took all these clips because they definitely put it in modern day. And when they announced way back, I can't remember exactly when they announced this, but they said that it was going to have something to do with the election.
Hmm. I never even heard that. So when I saw the first opening thing, it was a surprise to me. All I'd seen is the ads that were showing the clowns and the kind of the hive.
Yeah.
The hive mentality.
So I heard it was like something that Ryan Murphy said. I don't know if it was like a tweet or a like an offhanded comment or something, but he just said that it was the new season's going to have something to do with the election, or the election's going to be part of it.
Hmm.
And so I think what happened in everybody's minds was like, oh, it's going to be like Donald Trump and Hillary, and that's what it, like, it's going to be like weirdness. And then like that's the quote unquote the American Horror Story. I'm glad it didn't turn out to be like that. I kind of thought that I was like, I think it's mainly gonna, the election's gonna be the launching off point for it, but
which it definitely was.
Yeah,
definitely was.
Yeah, definitely. And then I remember they released the intro. They're like, oh, yeah, here, check out the intro to American Horror Story before the season airs. And then, of course, there was like a lot of people who were very upset that people were putting on, you know, Donald Trump masks and stuff. And
right.
Like, you should not be mocked. He's our president and stuff.
Yes, of course.
And then people pointed out that, you know, well, they show somebody putting on the Hillary mask more, but...
They're both sides are represented.
Yeah, both sides are represented.
Both sides are represented. And it's just a couple of moments of that. And of course, they had to pay a little bit of homage to that in the opening credits because it's a huge catalyst for the beginning of what's happening in this story.
It really is.
It's literally the what they begin with is showing that real footage.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that... It was a bit on the nose. Like when I first saw it, I kind of thought it was a little bit on the nose for me, but kind of seeing what they ended up doing with it, it was good.
It's good, the whole thing, and the whole thing, of course, meaning two episodes now.
Yes.
But the whole thing's on the nose.
Yeah.
Everything about it is some form of kind of stereotype of liberals, stereotype of like conservative people for the most part, and everybody's kind of playing these very particular obvious parts right now.
Right, right.
And they're, you know, and everybody's in a heightened version of whatever their type is. It was very interesting, the beginning to me, watching the election thing and the how they were going back and forth between, was it Allie?
Allie, yes.
And her family and everybody reacting to it, and how it's this depression.
Right.
At the news. And then to Evan Peters' character, Kai.
Yeah.
Who is celebrating it alone, because to him, this is the permission to unleash chaos.
Yes.
That's
yes.
exactly what it is. Yeah. He saw that win as a permission to unleash chaos. And then, of course, the whole thing and the whole theme of this is fear.
Right.
That's what he's rooting for this whole time. But I feel like that's probably a very genuine reflection of maybe what was happening in living rooms that night. I was alone watching it, and I was upset by it. I've never been as upset by an election as that particular one. So it's interesting that they opened it with the juxtaposition of probably what most people were feeling.
I mean, I felt that too. We all kind of, that was one, I think, from a lot of people. It just sort of felt like a big, ugh.
It captured the shock of it.
Yes,
it was
the shock
shocking
of it.
Because nobody really thought it was truly going to be viable.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever had a president elected that created fear, which is probably what instigated them using this concept. If their theme is fear, but a lot of people were very afraid. I remember reading my Facebook feed, and there was a lot of fear on there.
Right.
Like, what does this mean?
How
is this feels like this is going to change my life. So it's interesting that they've decided to use that as a catalyst to do this.
It really is. It really is.
And with clowns? With clowns. I was surprised it was clowns with a cult theme.
Yes. And I didn't know if it was because people have referred to, I know there's been some people on my feed that would refer to Trump as the clown.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing. Wasn't there a time in the news where there was people that were like dressing up as clowns just to incite kind of fear and chaos?
There was that.
I don't remember what time period that was, but that was in the news at one point.
I feel
it
like
also very conveniently lines up with it coming out.
I know, right? Very
That's
convenient.
That's all convenient. And it allows them to also bring back Twisty, which is a very popular character.
Yeah. So I think that the whole clowns thing, I mean, people just are offset by clowns.
A lot of people fear them.
Yeah, there is that common fear of clowns. And I think that there's also, you know, that big thing in the news where there were just kind of creepy clowns everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and I can understand, like, in Ryan Murphy's whole world, that would be amazing if I could just like insert clowns somewhere in here.
Yeah.
That would be a dream.
Yeah.
Which he did, and it
clowns and holes.
Clowns and holes, yes.
I do feel that the whole thing,
you know,
the people who see holes and they're like repulsed and they get nauseous.
Yeah.
That happens to me sometimes. So I kind of get that one.
So, speaking of, I guess, clowns and face painting and all that, one of the things that I thought was kind of amusing was Evan Peters. He is, again, a baddie.
Mm-hmm.
And he just plays it so well. He plays these characters. He's always been, like, a favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got an intensity about him.
Which is probably why Coven's one of my least favorite.
Because he's a good guy that's locked inside of himself.
Yeah.
And has no ability to communicate. So how are you supposed to really, I mean, for the most part of that season.
Yeah. And then Roanoke, he was just kind of,
My biggest disappointment was that he was gone from Roanoke so soon. Because I actually thought that character was really fun. Because you don't usually get to see him that playful.
Right, right.
So I was really enjoying him, and the fact that they got rid of him, and they didn't take advantage of the story to bring him back in any way. I don't know.
Yeah.
That disappointed me. But yeah, he's very intense, and so he brings a good quality to any villain type that he gets to play. He's more fun. He's more fun that way.
He's very fun. Like this, the way that he plays everything is, like, he's a despicable character, but you kind of like him because he does it in a kind of funny way. He reminds me a lot of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of those parallels in scenes. But one of those, one of the first things that I noticed is, yeah, he's walking around, he gets the idea to put Cheetos in the blender.
Yeah, and then, that's weird.
Do an impression of Trump with Cheetos on his face, mm-hmm, and hands. And he does his hair all up, you know, like him and all that. And then we meet Winter.
Yeah, that was very confusing for me, that introduction.
That introduction, yeah. So I didn't know exactly where they were, and I guess it was just how I didn't know if they're like roommates
they don't set the scene very well for you.
Yeah. A piece of information that they don't give you in the actual show, but I found a lot of information in the credits, is that Winter's last name is Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Kai Anderson and Winter Anderson. So are they
siblings?
Like siblings, or are they married, or, you know, like,
my instinct wants to say siblings.
Yeah. Or cousins, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe siblings. I can see that. Definitely Winter is a, you know, disturbed person as well.
Yes.
she definitely has some issues. There's that the phone call about, you know, her having some issues with self-harm.
Self-harm issues. And it's interesting, too, because she on that phone call has the conversation where she's scared that Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Right? She's not, she doesn't agree with Kai on that.
Right.
And yet, there is a closeness between them, this weird pinky swear thing.
Yeah.
That we're doing with this flesh to flesh.
Right.
Oddness that weirds me out.
Yeah.
So they don't agree.
Really? Yeah, they don't.
They don't agree on who they wanted to win on that. And yet, at the same time, they seem definitely to be in cahoots with each other.
Yeah.
And he's wants her to face her fears.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also, and this is definitely going to develop. I'm assuming, I would be very confused if it did not develop, but that Kai has the personality to, or kind of tendency to be so assertive and, I guess, mind-controlling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to kind of convince and manipulate people, and I think that's definitely what he's doing right now.
He's very charismatic.
Yeah.
And people like that, even when they're really disturbed, tend to be attractive in some form of a way where you want to kind of follow them, or you get drawn into whatever their madness is. And it seems like that's kind of where they're at, but I don't know. She seems like she's pretty intense herself in her own ways. But there must be a strong bond between them for them to disagree so fully on some things, but yet she still seems fully into it. And yet, remember when he says, like, what's your biggest fear? She was like, honestly, Kai, you, or something like that.
Yeah.
She says, like, I'm mostly afraid of you.
Yeah. And then he smiles. Yeah. And he's kind of, you know, going
off. He likes
off
that. He wants to be scary.
Yes. And actually, in that first scene, she says to him, I'm really scared. And he says, everyone is.
Yeah. I feel like that's true.
Yeah. And so,
in our society,
to me, with Kai, it felt like the gain was less about Trump being elected. Like, he wasn't like I'm a Republican, or his thoughts are my thoughts.
He just wanted something wild to happen.
Yeah.
To give him permission to incite chaos and fear. He was just waiting for it. It's so wacky, and he knew it was going to strike such a chord in people.
Right, right.
That he can play it up.
Yeah, definitely. So, and this is, again, something where it's not necessarily about, you know, your politics. And this is why Ryan Murphy is, I think, very, very clever. there could be somebody else who completely disagrees with me on this, and that is fine. But it just seems like he is not going to be playing the red versus blue type of cards. It's all about, all right, this is a thing that happened. Whether, you know, what side you were on, it just happened. Now, here's these extreme people that react this way, and then here's these types of extreme people that react this way. And they are reacting off of each other based on their own conclusions about a fact that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's a big necessary, like, message one way or another.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And like I said, these opposite sides, it's not like he's playing a little bit of a favorite, only in the sense that, you know, Trump does come off as like as the villain in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But all of the characters are like, even the liberal ones or whatever, they're just so, they're caricatures.
Yeah.
Everybody's a caricature right now.
Yeah, he's not going the way of like all the Trump people are like way caricatures, and then having the,
but I mean, it's so liberals on the nose. Yeah. But you have people, but isn't it, is it Chaz Bono?
Chaz Bono, yeah.
But he's putting on the Make America Great Again hat. Like, that's a juxtaposition right there for,
yeah, oh
you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense. So he's playing with us a little bit now, and I'm not entirely sure if I know where we're going to go yet.
Yes.
With it.
Right, right. Anyway, I thought now would be a wonderful time to talk about the opening.
Yeah.
So I made, as you saw,
yeah, you know way more about the opening than I
do. A lot of notes.
I was like, dang, I got to step up my game, this guy.
So usually, this is usually what we would do in the past, like on the Doctor Who podcast, we would get like a promo video, like, oh, this is what's going to happen in the next season. And so we would do a frame by frame and like talk about it and guess, oh, what do you think this is about? What, you know, what do you think is happening here?
Oh, okay.
And it's always stupid, and a lot of podcasts do it, because like we made like one joke, oh, 80% wrong. I decided to kind of frame by frame. And I bet that's what I did, frame by frame, and just made a note of everything that we see in the opening credits, because they put so many interesting things in the opening credits, and in the history of the show, it has even revealed some information about the show. It usually does, actually.
Yeah.
There is actually a huge spoiler in Coven.
Really?
Yes. If you're listening right now, and because of the nature of the show, you haven't heard or seen Coven, hold your ears, but... It under Sarah Paulson's name in Latin, a word pops up. A Latin word pops up, and the word means supreme.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a huge spoiler, isn't it? There you go.
Yes. So.
You're going to unleash the show on us. I did watch it again because I was watching the episode, of course, when you walked in here.
Yeah.
So I was watching the opening again. I did see, like, it was a clown popping out of a coffin with the It balloon, with the red balloon.
Yeah, they have the...
I was like, what?
All right.
What are we doing here? What else did you find? What did you find interesting?
All right, so it opens up. We have a shot of a porcelain angel playing a harp, kind of looking off-put. There's a lot of off-put looking things.
Everyone's generally nervous.
Yes. Like, oh, what's going to happen? All right, then we go to a shot of bloody hands in a sink, and I don't know if this is of any relevance, but there are letters carved in the bottom of the sink.
Hmm.
I couldn't decipher what letters they were. But okay. Then we do a cut to a bee in a hive.
Hive mind.
Yeah, cult. Hive mind, yes. And then there's a big, oddly thick... bloody hand being dragged across a honeycomb with bees.
Okay.
It's odd. Like, just like the hand is just like really like big and meaty and thick.
It's an abnormal hand.
Yes.
Okay.
That probably has nothing to do with it other than, hey, look at this. This is kind of creepy.
Sometimes they're just trying to be disturbing. Yeah. But I don't know.
And if that's somebody's actual hand, I'm sorry. And then it goes back to washing bloody hands. Then there's like, I don't know if it's silverfish or centipedes with crawling out of like holes in somebody's back. It looks like open wounds in somebody's back.
Yes, that shot makes me nauseous.
Yeah. So
that
like,
particular one, holes in skin make me really uncomfortable.
So yeah, it crawls out of one and then goes back into the other.
That one I feel like is just to gross you out and to highlight the fear that she has of holes.
Yes. And then we have like someone in a broom closet or a shed putting on a rubber Trump mask.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trump mask looks like angry. It doesn't look like what you would see in like, you know, your sinister Halloween store or whatever. Yeah, it looks like very sinister. Like somebody made it.
Mm.
Then we have a porcelain George Washington looking statue. Then we have clowns in a field carrying a coffin. Then a clown rising up out of the coffin with a red balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a gas canister being thrown. Then a female clown getting out of the coffin. So they're basically doing that, the clown car bit, but it's a coffin. So
sure.
It's a clown coffin. It's a hilarious coffin. Then we have George Washington statue with a sword. I don't know if that makes it any different, but he's holding a sword now, which could be an extra bit of
aggression.
Yeah, aggression. Exactly. then we have like the gas bomb exploding. Then another clown coming out of the coffin. More of the gas bomb starts to smoke. And then another clown getting out of the coffin. Then bees in the honeycomb hive. Two clowns coming out of the coffin. A clown with a big straight razor or something, just kind of like looking.
Hmm.
Or a knife. And then there's like a room with like another clown, just guy just like standing looking on. Then we have a guy who looks kind of less like a clown. That we find out that he's a magician,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't really have like a big like.
Oh, the guy's like pulling an organ out of a hat or something weird.
I think it's like a rag or something, like a bloody rag. Yeah.
My brain said organ because I made it worse.
Yeah, I mean it looks like it. You're like, what is that?
It's bloody.
Yes. Something bloody. But so it's just like a shot of this guy with basically just instead of a very detailed clown look, it's just white face paint and a green beard. And he has a hatchet.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then there's another clown in background. Then there's grim hands putting on a Hillary mask. They're like dirty, kind of nasty looking hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a clown juggling scimitars, looking type swords. And then we have a clown in the foreground and then two in the background in a dingy room with a circle spray painted on the wall.
The circle spray painted on the wall.
Yes.
The clowns leave that happy face on the wall. Is that, so that's a reference to that?
Yeah. Then we have a shot of the gas canister again. Then there's a person with a gas mask. So we go now to a different location, it looks like. A person with a gas mask covered in plastic PPE. That's personal protective equipment.
Jesus.
Just like a kind of like a hazmat type suit thing.
Yeah.
Standing in front of a carousel holding what looks like a dead dog.
Yes, that one upset me.
Yeah, that was like, oh,
that one upset me greatly.
Yeah. Unless the dog's just napping. It could just be sleeping gas.
That's what I'm hoping for at this point.
And then a shot of the dog on the ground as the gas blows past. Then back to the person holding the dog. So it looks like it could be at different points of time. Then a clown riding on a carousel, girl clown crying blood, and then red, white, and blue confetti everywhere on mm-hmm. the carousel. Then there is someone in a bloody apron, wiping a bloody meat cleaver on their stomach. And then there is a shot of the green beard clown, the magician clown, waving his hand over a hat. Then we have the American flag with blood being splattered on it.
Mm-hmm.
The magician starts pulling out, I think it's a bloody rag. That's what I just wrote down, but it could be. It
like
could
I
be
said,
an organ.
My brain made it worse. I don't know what it was.
I mean, you can't see like the clothness of it because it's completely covered in gooey blood. And then we have more bloody drips on the U.S. flag. Then clowns riding on a carousel, bees in a hive, Hillary mask with the finger waving no. Doing mm-hmm. that whole thing.
They love carousels, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
We lost the kid on the carousel in Hotel.
Oh, that's right,
Freak Show
yeah.
has a carousel. Go on.
We have a flag with blood streaming down it. Magician pulls out the bloody rag. More bloody flag. Magician close-up of bloody rag, or then I said thing he's holding because it then kind of looked less like a rag and looked kind of like something else.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a piece of skin, you know, who
Yuck.
Knows.
Gross.
Then we have another location with a bloody naked couple making out.
Yes, that was my favorite part.
That was your favorite
What's
part.
What's that going to turn into?
Yeah. then we have some more bees. And then we have more bloody hand washing. Then the porcelain George Washington, and then there's a lady with a bell. And then there's a shot of a porcelain ruffle hand, a hand with like the ruffle cloth on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then bloody hand washing, then a bee in a hive, bloody hand washing through. And then we see the clothes that they're wearing is red and white striped. So a lot of patriotic colors mm-hmm. throughout all this.
Clear.
And then there is blood that drops in the water, bloody naked couple making out, clown in a hazmat suit. So now it looks like a different hazmat suit than we saw before. But then it was the clown that I think we first saw, which has kind of like the big kind of fro-y looking hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then and there's like gas blowing around.
That's a big theme. Are we looking at biological warfare?
It could be.
Are we looking at police stopping them with those types of things?
Yeah, because also in the like the little like promo shots,
mm-hmm.
it's where it's like none of the actual people, like they always have those promo shots where it's not,
yeah, it's just random humans.
Yeah, it's just like random humans, but it's the theme. Well, it's been like clowns in gas masks chasing a woman and like we're like throwing gas everywhere. So, I mean, that definitely seems to be a theme.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Then we have another carousel shot, and then it ends with a big puff of gas. And then the very last thing we saw is hands in cuffs. One of the wrists has a tattoo on it.
Well, man, we know how it ends. Somebody's going to get arrested.
Well, there we go. The whole entire season in
ruined it.
Yeah.
We ruined
in an
it.
Opening. All right, cool. I like it.
I glean from that people are going to die. Gas will be used. Obviously, cult, hive mind, fear of holes. They're covering the main themes right now, the Trump and the Hillary. I guess the real question is there a spoiler in there?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
We don't know yet.
I feel like they might have thought, man, maybe we should not put spoilers in there.
Yeah, I know. Right? You know what one of my favorite moments was?
What?
In the first episode, Kai making that speech.
Oh, yes. I love that.
I really enjoyed that.
That was great.
Really well delivered.
Really
and
well delivered.
My favorite
yeah.
line that he said was, "There's nothing in this world more dangerous than a humiliated man."
Oh, yeah. That was great.
And it's incredibly accurate.
It's so accurate.
And he's a nutcase, and we know this, and he's a madman, and he's using this as an excuse to create his like uprising and really come out as into his own. But a lot of the things he also said kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
About this fear element, because a lot of people do live in fear all the time. Our news perpetuates fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wants us to be nervous. It's like we're always supposed to be on our toes about things. I call the news the bad news because they prefer to tell you all the negative things that are happening in the world rather than any sort of, they should have a special segment called the good news. And then they just tell you like one real nice thing that happened during the day.
Oh,
you know what I mean? But it's very true what he was saying about the kind of the state that we live in.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But yeah, that one line really struck me. The humiliated man.
I wrote down, because that's another example of him just being so good at, you know, delivering lines, mm-hmm. being that very calculated, manipulating type person.
It's the best kind of villain.
And then he's also like, throws a little bit of that humor in it. Like, I love it when he said that line, "Clarabelle, don't listen to rap music. You'll get bad opinions about yourself."
Mm-hmm.
Just like the way, like, he...
That is very Joker-esque in that sense.
But yeah, and like, you... winning them over with, you know, or trying to win them over with, you know, a little bit of humor and just kind of bouncing back and forth and not being this like,
no, well, those, the, you know. I've always felt that those are the best villains.
Yeah.
They're the ones that for some reason you like, you always want to know where that their, what their backstory is, because clearly something made them this way. And then they can go from kind of fun and jovial and normal and they snap.
Oh, yeah.
And they turn into something completely different, and they're so unpredictable.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's obviously going to keep playing out, because he's a representative of chaos. He wants chaos. That's why he's so reminiscent of the Joker, because he's playing...
Yeah.
He's playing all those sides.
And, of course, he has that... the long hair.
With they the, give him the long purple hair long with a color. Hair.
Yeah. It's just like...
They're like, but we did blue, so...
Yeah, we did blue, so it's
different. It's different.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jumping back a little bit after the credits,
mm-hmm.
This is our first opening scene, and we get Twisty.
What were your feelings?
My
first instinct was that Twisty, because obviously in Freak Show, those ghosts are very lifelike.
Right.
And they can interact with the world. So I'm thinking, like, maybe this is Halloween and Twisty can... encounter living people again, and that's what we're watching.
Or like maybe he found his way back. Yeah,
that was my first impression, is that maybe that was like his day that he could still interact with people and he was continuing his legacy.
Yeah.
But no, he's become some sort of a comic icon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
from his creepy.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, I'm liking this, but all right, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And yeah, they brought it back, and I think in a smart way, I was like, oh, I get it. I see what you're doing.
Yes. And I'm wondering if it means something or if they're just kind of being cute, bringing him back from another season.
I wonder if Ryan Murphy's like, all right, I did make the theme about clowns. Like, clowns make a really good...
So I have to address it again.
So it's like, we got to bring back Twisty.
Yeah.
And also, Twisty didn't get... I feel all the time that he should have had in Freak Show.
Oh, I loved him.
I loved him,
and yeah. I loved his story. When they finally, I was so excited when they did the episode where they showed you what happened to him.
Yeah.
Because I love those characters where you just, there's nothing better than those characters where you can feel for them.
Right.
You're like, oh, that's not fair what was done to you.
Right.
And it turned you into this.
And I think that they're...
And then you get taken by Edward Mordrake.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Go with Wes Bentley and his
yes,
demon
he's
head.
Lovely.
I think that they're doing just enough with Kai, at least so far. Again, we've only had two episodes, but I think what they are doing well is they're giving him a backstory. Yeah, we're kind of seeing his beginning, but like, I can't imagine that they're going to do something where you're going to completely like sympathize with them. Like, he just seems kind of,
but it's cause he's chaos.
He's chaos. Yeah.
He doesn't need a story that makes sense.
Right. Right.
Because of what he represents right now, I think.
Yeah.
But that's why Twisty is a sympathetic character. I don't think Kai is sympathetic. I think he's entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think you're just intrigued by somebody that can live in this wild place.
Right.
Where he does what he wants. And he's manipulating without remorse.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
He does not care. Does not care. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So then, you know, you're talking a little bit about the holes. So we find out that Allie is going to a therapist,
mm-hmm.
addressing the whole, like, clown situation and all that. And we find out that she has had the same thing when 9/11 happened, with a really bad event happened. So all these, like, big, crazy fears came, like, to be very lifelike. And another thing that we find is that she does not like holes. So he has Dr. Vincent, is Cheyenne Jackson's part, has a little coral.
His name is Cheyenne? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I'm love pretty. It.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sure, yeah.
I'm into it. Continue. But yeah, he has that coral in his office.
Yeah. And one thing that I really liked about him, he kind of represented to part of the equation of, like, he didn't like the results himself. Like, he was disgusted by it. But he's also taking the route of, I'm just not going to engage with this. Like, I know I can't, like, control the government.
Well, yeah, so, he's just the logical rationale.
Like, I'm
a
not...
person living their own life rather than trying to live as a part of the whole.
Yes. Yeah, I'm unplugging from social media. I'm joining the gym. You know, that's where I'm focusing my time.
He's focusing on the self.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I'm sure you probably have like 7 podcasts about that. In your own.
I like that stuff.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely what he's representing. Whereas, you know, her character is just, she's hard to watch a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Because she's so full of anxiety.
Right.
And and like most people right now, I feel like anxiety is a huge thing.
Right.
It's a huge thing. Everybody's got anxiety, it seems like. And so she's just the, like I said, she's the caricature of that.
Yeah.
We're just these global events that don't technically have to do with your personal life will set you off so hard that your massive phobias of irrational things come back.
Right, right.
You know, and she spends most of her time, and especially in this first episode and, you know, a lot of the second episode, you know, freaking out.
Right.
And crying and seeming unreasonable.
Exactly. And one of the things that I noticed that she does is, unlike Dr. Vincent, she will actually engage herself in, you know, she's looking at there's a scene where she's looking at Trump's tweets. And I know people like that who, you know, Trump makes them like literally sick. They can't deal with it. But, you know, there are some people who will just constantly follow and purposely engage.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they have, you know, their own reasons for doing that. I don't necessarily understand that myself. I'm just kind of like,
I don't do that myself, so I don't fully understand it either. But there's a thing between, you know, being well informed and then being so invested in something that it's unhealthy because it's not something you can even truly change at that point. It's just something that's making things worse, and especially with her character being so fully anxietous.
Yeah.
All the time. And so full of this fear.
Yeah.
The fact that she's fueling it.
Yeah, and I guess
is
like
not good.
I guess on some aspect I kind of feel like I get it because I will make the mistake of reading the comments even though I know I shouldn't look there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like some hot topic issue that I'm on a certain side of, and sure enough I see like I go looking for those comments I go looking for the drama, and then I just get angry afterwards. And I'm like, I'm in a bad mood. Why'd I do that?
Right, right. And she is the dramatic version.
Right, right.
When she needs to be steering clear of all of that stuff, because clearly she doesn't cope well.
Right. So, we see this clown. We don't know if it's a hallucination.
I'm very confused as to what is reality and what she's making up at this point.
Yes.
Because there's moments like when she goes into the grocery store.
Right.
And she senses something behind her. Doesn't she see something like in a reflection as she turns around and there's nothing there?
Right.
There's no time for a real human to have disappeared during that.
Right, right.
So I don't know if that's their editing or if they're telling us it's not real in that moment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things happening that she's not a reliable narrator when we're in her point of view.
Right.
So we're not sure if we're looking at something that's really happening or it's probably a combo of both.
Yeah.
Maybe just something, it's over dramatized by her fear and anxiety, the things that she's seeing. When she's in the grocery store, though, I was like, get out of that. Yeah. She was driving me nuts. She's running up and down the aisles. I'm like, if I saw anything like that, I'm straight for the exit. No questions. I'm out. She's running around aisles, throwing bottles of rosé or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's throwing bottles. Every time she picked up something, it was like a rosé.
Yeah.
But she's throwing bottles and trying to get out. And I'm like, you're taking the longest route to exit. Then she gets to the vehicle and she doesn't drive off. No. She makes a phone call to her wife.
Yeah.
But no, I like I am driving away from the situation that I feel like I almost died in. Do you
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And but the fact that she's seeing these clowns with the holes in the mask.
Yeah.
So that's obviously her extreme fear there.
Yeah.
That's playing. She even says later, it feels like, you know, it feels like they knew exactly what I was scared of.
Right. Right.
And so I'm like, is this real? Is it not? They're not making that very clear right now.
I'm really scared of motorized scooters.
Yeah. A three-headed guy is pretty creepy.
Yes. Which brings up another point.
Three-faced guy, I should say.
Yes, we do not know, because these clowns pop up more than once, and we don't know, their names are not known vocally mm-hmm. in the episode, but they are in the credits. And so I just basically did a deductive thing, because I tried to like find them who plays what, and you know, they're all masked, so
right.
You can't just like look up somebody and go, oh, that's who that is. But it's right here in my notes. All right. So we have Chloe Campbell playing Pentagram.
Okay.
Pentagram is the clown that we see in the car.
Okay.
That is because she has like the hands coming out of the sides of her head.
Yeah, gross.
And then there's like a big pentagram on her face. So it's pretty.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Then we have Ball Gag, played by Kimberly Dunn Guerrero, which is the one that you said that you don't like.
Freaks me out, the big-headed one.
The big head, yeah, and she has a ball gag in her mouth.
Yuck.
And then there is Zay Harding, who plays Holes, which mm-hmm. I'm assuming is the one with a bunch of holes in the face.
Yeah, gross.
And then Bo Roberts as Kooks. I'm just assuming that Kooks is the one with no head, no top of the head, with the brain being exposed.
Okay.
I have no clear reason to, you know, other than
the process of elimination.
Yeah. And then the three-faced, if the three-faced clown is not Kooks, mm-hmm. then that would be an unnamed clown. So
mystery clown. Yes.
Which I like three-faced clown. That seems pretty logical, straightforward.
Yeah. Really great design on all of them, though.
Oh, yeah.
They're really all very interesting looking.
They are very interesting.
I'm impressed by that. They all creep me out. I wouldn't want to hang out with any of them.
Right. Right.
But, hey, do they have to be... Her son is seeing them.
Right.
Because he sees them during the murder.
Right.
So they are real.
They are real. My guess is that they're real.
I would assume they're real. I just that also maybe certain things are maybe over dramatized in her perspective. I don't know.
Yeah. So the things that happen before she goes into the whole like clown catastrophe
mm-hmm.
is she hears Trump giving a speech on TV,
mm-hmm.
And then she talks to Chaz Bono, who then puts on who's missing an arm.
Yeah, so the hand's gone.
And actually, I looked. I was like, oh, is Chaz Bono not have? Did he go into an accident as well? But no, he
just checking.
No, it's actually just a design for the show.
Uh huh.
So, which is, you know, kind of exposes like a big hole, you know, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's stitched up, but, you know.
Missing appendage.
Something that, It's kind of like, ooh. Yeah, puts on a Trump hat or what they call the MAGAs. I learned that from another podcast.
Oh. I didn't know that. Yeah.
It's the...
Make America Great Again.
Yeah, Make America Great Again.
Scares me that they have a name like that.
Yeah. And then... but I mean, that's like a different type of supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Oh, by the way, that character's name is Gary K. Longstreet.
Longstreet. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
So we'll probably see him again, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Again, not really. I don't think he's really ever mentioned. His name is mentioned, but it is in the credits. So.
Sure.
And then... Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, so there's another scene that happens with a clown that we're pretty sure is a hallucination, and that's after she reads the Trump tweet.
The one in the restaurant?
The one in the restaurant. Yeah, actually, no, we're certain that's a hallucination because...
That one has to be, right?
Yeah,
because her wife brings her out food, she unveils that weird little cake that spurts out blood with fingers.
Right, right.
The holes, so it's playing on all of the fears.
Yeah.
And then every time that happens around her wife where she sees a clown, the clown does not seem to be there after they investigate.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe those moments are the hallucinations?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did say in the report that when they did the investigation of the grocery store, because the detective comes.
Mm-hmm. Which you know is a big player because his hair is platinum blonde white.
Yes.
And he's beautiful. So you know he's important.
Colton...
Haynes.
Yes, Colton Haynes.
One of those.
So, yeah, and I think his name is in the opening credits.
Yeah, he seems like he's going to be a...
Yeah. So, we're kind of... I think we're kind of dodgy about him.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah.
I felt like he was in on it when I saw him at the crime scene at the house, too.
There's a lot of could-be-in-on-it type of people, including Chaz Bono.
Yeah, because his statement said that he didn't see anything.
Now, it could have all been squashed with, like, it. You know, if the guy at the grocery store was like, oh, no, there was freaking, like, everybody, like, all these, like, clowns came in and started and put on... crazy music and Hellfire by Black Cat.
Advanced.
I have this wonderful thing. I watch them all on Amazon and they have this little thing called X-ray. You can just like move the mouse up there and it shows like the actors, the characters and who they're playing.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that was a thing.
And then if there's a certain song playing it, sometimes it'll like show that. So
oh, sweet.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I was like clicking on it the whole time, trying to figure
out immersive viewing.
Yeah. It's viewing for podcasts.
So. Yeah. It's built for that.
And never showed anything about the clowns though. So yeah. Like, cause he could have been, you know, all about, oh my gosh, all this crazy stuff is happening. And then
the detective squashes it.
Yeah. It could have been like, oh yeah, no, that nothing
it's
happened.
Possible. Yeah.
Or again, Chaz Bono could have been on it. So,
we don't know yet.
Or sorry, Gary Longstreet. Yeah, sorry. Chaz Bono would not be a part of that. So that is a very... everything is super, super suspicious right now.
Yes.
So there are all these mysteries being set up that I love. Everything is super, super juicy right now.
What is Winter's motivation?
I don't know.
Kids weird her out, but she takes that job. I feel like it's just to infiltrate the house.
Yeah.
How does Kai know? It feels like he knows them. He has some sort of personal vendetta with them that he would maybe know their fears, that he runs into them on the sidewalk and like throws his latte on them.
Yes.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? That he would target them to put Winter in the home. It feels like he knows them, and I'm not entirely sure what that is. But then Winter goes in there and she's like getting this kid to watch the dark web, and I'm like, what's the motivation there?
There's a lot of in the dark kind of mysteries, And it doesn't seem like Ivy and Allie are that high profile.
That, well, they own a restaurant.
Like, why would they be on Kai's radar?
Yeah, and it's like he knows them. That was very weird. But they clearly don't know him from that interaction on the sidewalk. But it's like I don't know what it is, but they feel targeted.
Yeah, it's super, super weird what her exact motivation is. So is this all coincidence? But I feel like nothing's ever quite coincidence.
No, I feel like it'll kind of be explained. But that juxtaposition of the editing that they were doing, where she's talking about her fears
in the midst of doing the
interview. And it was like she was scared of kids, so now she has to go work with a kid. And it's like he's making her face everything.
Yes.
But she doesn't seem nervous about it. She seems very strong in the face of it. There's nothing weak about her.
Right.
In the way she behaves out away from him. She doesn't seem weak at all.
Yes.
In his presence, she seems to cower slightly.
But she knows at least... it could be a thing where, like, okay, well, I know that I'm stronger than you. Mm-hmm. I'm stronger than this little kid, so I can be Kai in this situation.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm getting out of it. But yeah, and honestly, I never even thought about it like that. I thought, oh, they could be on their radar, like Kai's having her infiltrate them, but there's no reason for him to know about who they are.
That we know of, yeah. I guess.
That we know of.
But my view of that was full infiltration.
The only thing that we know is that they are...
To me, that was like, that's how I get the clowns in the house.
Right.
That's how I...
Right.
You know what I mean? She has access.
Yes. Yeah. She does have access. There are... the biggest connection is that they are neighbors to the Changs.
Mm-hmm.
How did we forget about the Changs?
Yeah, they died.
Yeah. So the whole scene, I thought that the interview scene was great, by the way. Just the way that that was done. And you could see the juxtaposition, like you were saying, how she was, you know, very shaken, very, you know, fearful, and sets up the whole Pinky thing. And then going back and like how then she has changed from being in the presence of Kai to like, I'm going to be this whole completely different person. And it seems very like brainwashy type thing. Like
she's off-putting.
She's very off-putting.
Personally, like, I would not hire her if she had showed up to my house.
That there has been you can definitely see a change that has undergone her from whatever happened with Kai to what she's doing now.
Yep.
So I thought that was handled very, very well.
It was clever.
Yeah.
It may be more important than we realize.
Definitely. Definitely. The thing that that gives me the willies, that irks me, is seeing the ways that she's kind of corrupting Oz.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's like she's poisoning him with as much negativity and strangeness as she can.
Yeah, like to damage him to get so then she can take him over, which is just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like she's trying. It's weird because it's like she's trying to gain this kid's trust.
Right.
By making them close, by sharing these personal things.
Yeah.
He seems like a smart kid, but she's just trying. It's like she's trying to defile him in that sense.
Yeah. And
let me show you all the darkest things on the internet. And
yes.
You witness this kind of like these weird clowns coming out. I don't know. I just don't know what. I'm trying to figure out what the end game of that is.
Side note, I freeze framed that website when she pulled up the search. Because that was obviously a fake, the whole fake thing. There's no scaredtodeath.onion. That's not a real website.
Again.
Yeah. There was like this whole like search list of all these different websites, these like scary websites that you could go to. And it didn't actually have any websites addressed. It just had like a name and then like a little like description of each one. It was just like really stupid. It was like scary videos, scary website, scary for everyone. I just thought that was funny. It was like the first thing that popped up.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's a weird name.
They're making weird little jokes everywhere.
Yeah, I figured that people will probably like put weird things like that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just like a guy getting like stabbed in the neck or whatever.
Yeah.
So, just like repeatedly.
My first thought was, is that really on the internet? Is this a real place that I don't know about? Yeah.
Well, there is a dark web.
I know that.
Yeah.
I'm like, but are those things that people can see? It's not good.
You can see all kind of weird things, it's not good. I think. Especially like there's, you know, they always say never go to 4chan because there's a lot of really weird stuff on that because it's just like unregulated internet.
Mm.
Also, yeah, you know, people can get some really weird diseases from that website. Or at least people's computers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Getting them viruses.
Yeah.
No thanks.
What do you think of Winter, Billie Lord as Winter?
I mean, she creeps me out.
Yeah.
She creeps me out. I feel like she is under Kai's thumb. Siblings would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Is my instinct. I'm wondering... I'm just trying to figure out her motivation and what she's trying to get out of this. Is she motivated to just please Kai and she just wants to be seen as, you know, an equal to him? And she wants to impress him? Is that why she's doing this?
Could be.
Because we already know they don't agree on that main topic of who was elected. That's how it began.
But there's
obviously a closeness there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a closeness.
She wants to please him.
And I think what it has to do with is that fear that, you know, he's offering something that can help her with the fear, or at least to become bigger than her fear or use that fear or something.
And to enable her to have some sort of sense of control.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if you carry a heavy amount of fear, you want to feel, you feel better when you're in a situation where you feel like you have control over something.
Right, right.
Even though that's a complete illusion. But she's so strong in that house.
She is.
She's so strong. She's unwavering. Her decisions, the way she talks to the kid, the way she talks to Allie and Ivy?
Yes.
Ivy? Yeah. The way she talks to them is very like I said, I would never hire her. Somebody walks into there with that stone face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's so cold. She feels so cold and that she doesn't feel genuine in that. But she's saying all the right things.
She is. And I think that could be a thing, too, where they had that bond. They talked about her working on Hillary's campaign. And
yeah, it's all very designed for her to seem ideal.
Yeah.
But, you know, her vibe is obviously super off.
Yeah.
Super off.
Yeah.
No question
definitely.
About that. But she feels very powerful in that house. She feels like she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yes.
And so you just see the difference of her interaction outside of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. She's a puppet. But I guess, you know, theme is cult.
It is.
If she's just part of the hive mind and trying to achieve whatever purpose that he wants, then there you go.
That is scary. And it is super scary that there's somebody like that in their house. It's just like, oh, like you said, poison.
It's poison.
It's like
it's
a direct
infiltration. It's disgusting.
A direct poison infiltration.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now we have the clown car, the ice cream truck pulling up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those five clowns jumping out again. And then Oz freaks out. But we find out that she has taken him across the street.
She's like, let's go look at it.
Yeah.
It seems like a great idea.
And I get the feeling that she knows...
I feel like she knows them.
Yeah, she knows them.
She knows who these people are.
Yeah.
I didn't... That was immediately what I thought.
Like,
she
it
knows
was...
who these people are. She's like, look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
Come follow us. So she's brainwashing this child.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely to try to think that this stuff is normal.
Yeah, and then she... Like, the kid's watching a death video, and then she brings him across the street, just, oh, tell me what you see. And, of course, right when he pokes his head up there... Mr. Chang's throat is getting slit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, ugh.
I'm very curious to see who all these clowns are.
Yeah.
Because this has all gone very fast.
Oh, yeah.
From this election to these particular clowns.
Right, right.
Taking hold and and making these very dramatic decisions. Not just terrorizing people, but we're killing people.
Exactly.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
And she's infiltrated this home for some reason.
There's a lot of things that are being set up in this episode, which is also is kind of fun and interesting because it's not like a slow build up into it. It's just like, right, in American Horror Story, it's always like, oh, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, I guess, satisfying way of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might not take our time. It might not be completely fleshed out, or, you know, it could be in the end, but it's just like, you just get it all completely. Boom, right there. But not everything, but enough.
You're just setting up the mystery.
You are setting up
the
mystery.
They're giving you the questions.
Yeah. And one of the things is you see the clown make a big circle, like a smiley face in blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's blood, or it could be a spray paint. Who knows? On the door. Oh, by the way, a thing that we like kind of skirted over a little bit, because there's like a lot of talk about the election and the role that, because they're living in Michigan, the senses are so heightened. And I felt like over here in California, like we didn't feel it this much because
we know we're going blue.
Yeah, we always go blue.
Yeah, we always go blue. And that's why a lot of people will say that they're not going to vote.
Yeah.
Or they don't care because they're like, oh, well, clearly we're going to go blue.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And we're not on the cusp
yeah.
of that, so there's no worry. But their state was? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. So Michigan was one of those.
There's a lot of blaming of, like, you just wanted to. That's where that on-the-nose writing comes in, where they're like, you just thought that you couldn't vote for Trump or Hillary because, you know, all of this other stuff, but we're a swing state. We have to make sure that we vote.
Yeah.
There's, like, a very clear message in there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of judgment placed on that, and I'm wondering, I can't tell whether the on-the-nose writing is kind of tongue-in-cheek yet. It's obviously making fun of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's making fun of stuff. It's making fun of our system and the flaw in our system, where really there's only two candidates.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that there's other candidates, people acknowledge the fact that if you don't vote Democrat or Republican, you're a wasted vote, which I don't believe that's how it should be, but that's how our system is kind of set up.
Yeah.
So there's I think they call attention to that.
And so, one of the interesting facts that we find out is that Allie voted for Jill Stein because she didn't trust Hillary.
Right.
Again, kind of, I think, maybe knocking some people's ideas about this particular season or this show of like, oh, well, obviously it was, you know, it's definitely, you know, Trump and Hillary, where it's like, well, no, the main character of this season also did not have the trust of Hillary.
Because there was a lot of blame put on people
that
said that they were just, I'm just trying to shake the system up, so I'll vote for him, or I'll not vote at all, and then look what happens. So I think they were just kind of bringing that to light. But yeah, I just think they're bringing to attention all those things that we realize are kind of off maybe with the system.
Yes.
And the contradiction that happened in this last election.
Out of the podcasts I've had, I've never had anything like too political.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like,
well, this one makes it.
Has to be.
This one is very specifically drawing that.
Right, right. So, yeah, now here comes the big kind of climax of this episode where Allie and Ivy come driving up. Talking about how she's not taking the pills that she's prescribed that are going to calm everything. And then all of a sudden, there's just like police tape and all these cars. So, of course, we're thinking because we just saw the shot of the clowns looking at Oz and then him freaking out. So we think, holy crap, something happened. They're not going to kill a kid in the first episode, right?
Yeah.
No, luckily they didn't.
I didn't think they were gonna.
I was worried. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it's weird because he comes running up and he has kind of a weird run, like a weird, like, stumbly. I was like, is he hurt? But then it turns out he wasn't.
I didn't notice how he was running.
I don't know. If you watch it again, I just noticed he kind of had this like weird, it was like almost like a limp or just, there was an oddness to his run. So. And I don't know if there's like a cut scene where maybe like he kind of falls off the trash can or whatever he was standing on, but like, it just seemed it seemed like something where it could have been a little freak out or misdirect of him getting hurt.
Yeah. My takeaway from that is that's the first example of, like, you know, Allie being told that she's crazy and she's just, are you on your meds? You need to calm down. And then, you know,
yeah.
But crazy stuff is actually happening.
Right.
Bad things are happening.
Bad things are happening.
And then my second takeaway was Platinum Blonde Detective Man, obviously
right.
pivotal, saying it's a murder-suicide.
Yeah.
Which we know it is not.
We don't
at
know
least
how.
We're very sure yeah. it's not, because we just saw that whole clown situation, which Oz saw, and then Oz being discredited
yeah.
by Winter.
Right.
And it's how convenient the kid also has, like, night terrors and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
you can blame. So that's what I'm saying, this unreliable narrator. Everybody that's having an opinion where things are going crazy, they're constantly discredited.
Right, right. Yeah, this is really, really interesting. So there's a lot being set up here. I'm excited to kind of see where all this is going. And so this basically, like, sets up the kind of end to everything. But we did gloss over one important pivotal scene.
Mm.
It is Kai and some Mexican immigrants.
Yes.
Oh, that
specifically
scene.
Provoking.
Specifically,
with a secret,
yeah.
With a secret camera.
With the secret camera.
Because he's pushing his chaos, and he Push wants people to look bad. And he knows he
yeah.
can create a moment with that. He's taking advantage of everything that's going on in the climate.
Yeah. So this was another scene that was very, very Joker-like.
Mm-hmm.
And Absolutely. By the way, I did make, you know, some notes about some other, you know, like, again, the whole, like, the interview, you know, between him and Winter, he would kind of like bounce back between being very intense to being kind of comical when she was talking about, like, doing anal, and he was like,
yeah,
was there poop? Like, this,
yes,
yeah,
he's jokes, but he's unpredictable, but he's scary.
Yeah. And then at
like,
the
what's
end,
what's he going to do?
Yeah. Like, have you ever won anybody dead? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then going to all the people who voted for Trump and just like screams like, which is, so you could see like there's so many different angles to him.
His mood swings.
And these were all probably inauthentic. He was utilizing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Very calculatedly.
No, I think he's I think he's incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially from that speech that he made, you can tell you're dealing with a very smart person.
Yeah.
He's smart.
Right.
And he's using these moments very specifically for his own gain. But yeah, in that particular scene, you're watching it and you're like, okay, clearly he's going to provoke something.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, he's something funny about him. But then you're like, gross.
Yeah, that whole.
Because he's gross. Yeah.
That whole scene, like, because the way that he's playing it off is kind of funny. And like, I think like all the workers or whatever, like, are, they don't know what to expect. And
no, they're just hanging
yeah,
back and watching.
Yeah, they're hanging
they don't
back.
Know what this guy's going to do.
And they're kind of like, I feel like some of them are kind of even laughing about it, like, you know, this guy, what's he doing?
Yeah, like, he just looks like a crazy person.
He's peeing into a condom. Let's.
He just looks like a crazy person.
Yeah.
But then he goes full on insulting, and then he's just manipulative.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's trying to do.
And we just see this phone recording.
Mm-hmm.
A mystery phone.
Somebody's holding it,
yeah. And so, and it's one of those things where, because it's not broadcasted yet, but you definitely know. You're like, oh, I've seen footage like this before that riles people up. Because it's taking that fear and then escalating it, saying, oh, see, this is the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of our culture is now.
Yeah.
You can create these scenes.
Yes.
And pass them off as reality.
Yes. So, and then the very end is we get one last little creepy scene of going through the house. And Allie turns around and there's Three-Face Clown staring right at her.
Yes.
And that's how it ends. Episode 1. So, do you have any thoughts? Any closing thoughts about episode 1?
I felt like the whole first episode is just telling you their opinion about the state of our world right now.
Yeah.
Setting up the mystery and the questions.
Yeah.
And leaving you very confused as to why she didn't leave the grocery store and stop throwing bottles of rosé. That was my first thought.
Right.
And then your themes are anxiety and fear. They're very clear about that.
Exactly, exactly. One little thing I jotted down was I thought, you know, as far as the clowns, are they a hallucination or not? I am kind of, I mean, even though I'm on the fence, I feel like that first interaction is actually real. And there's a lot of cover up.
I agree with that. I think that was real. I just didn't agree with her reaction to it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that one's real. I think certain ones maybe could be just her. And I think that they are showing us both versions, the real and the fake, to leave us confused.
Yeah. It is really weird the fact that there are so many like working pieces in it. That and I think that the fact you said that she's not a reliable narrator is key. That's what they're using. But these clowns aren't just running around like killing people. I mean, they are in some cases, but there's also that
was just to torture
her. Yeah, level of fear. It is weird that they're all like kind of exactly like they know what she doesn't like.
That's my biggest curiosity, is how does Kai know who they are? Is he purposefully targeting them? Which it seems like he kind of is.
Is he a part of it?
And how does he know who they are? Why would he purposefully target them?
And that's the thing, though. Do you think that Kai is even a part of this?
Oh, is he the clown? It would seem like you'd assume that he'd be the three-faced clown, but like I said, maybe he's not.
Right.
He could be, maybe he's not. I don't think we know enough yet. I think they just wanted to set up a lot of the mystery and the confusion.
Yeah.
Because we haven't even really got to something that feels like a cult yet. I think that they're still developing that.
Because I was thinking about like, oh, what if like Kai just had like all these people, and like these were people that Kai has turned. But I don't know. It seems like he's not there as a character yet.
Yeah. We just need more.
Yeah. Like it seems like he's still like, because he was still going the way of, like, he didn't seem like he was 100% chaos, or like he was 100% like, I'm going to start a whole cult thing. He was just, you know, very, you know, that very smart, you know, revolutionary as a person. He went to City Hall.
I think we saw his inciting moment. I think he felt ignored, which is with that humiliated man comment. And that fueled him even further. And that we haven't even really seen the beginning of the cult yet.
Yeah.
I think that's going to develop.
Yeah. Unless he had like, some friends, you know, in his back pocket. And then after that City Hall happened, he's like, okay, we're going to dress like clowns now. That's the thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
There's so many questions.
I don't know.
All right, cool. So we shall wrap up this episode of Twisted Nerfs. Episode one. Anyway. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
To plug?
Yes.
Hey, check out my podcast.
Yes.
It's called We're All Human with Courtney Diamond. It's on iTunes and Google Play Music and Stitcher. You can go to my website, CourtneyDiamond.com, for
awesome.
All those links.
Cool. And if you'd like to hear me and my roommates talk about Doctor Who, you can check out The Arrow of Time at AOTpodcast.com for all your Arrow of Time needs. And there's nothing, no social media yet for this. So
you have an Instagram? Come on.
I have an Instagram. Yes.
Get on there.
Maddie Warbs.
Courtney Diamond.
Yeah.
I'm pretty classic.
Yeah, we are
across the board.
Great. But yeah, I have a feeling that something will come up of this to promote.
Yeah.
Yay.
Of course.
Cool. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. I have been Matt.
I have been Courtney.
And this has been Twisted Nerfs.